Okay, the clubhouse. No. Have you ever been, you ever had a clubhouse when you were growing up? A fort or a clubhouse or something? Place where you went where it was cozy and comforting and safe. There is something cozy about having a place, especially when you're a kid. There's tree houses, there's forts. One of the coolest things ever is going for a walk in the woods, like a hike, and then finding a fort that somebody built. Like, look at that! It's like leaves kind of piled up there, and you can go, and it's like, it feels kind of cool in a fort. I think that clubhouses, they're cool because they offer the people who use them this feeling of, now I can finally relax, because it's this safe place. In congregational life, different rooms in the church building have that kind of feeling. For some, likely it's here in the sanctuary. This is the safe place, a place where you just like to come and be present with God. For some, maybe it's the youth room, junior high room, or the senior high room. That's a safe place, a clubhouse. Places become sacred to groups who meet in those places. You know, in clubhouses we find goodness, safety, security, and all of that is wonderful. There is something really cool about a clubhouse until the clubhouse becomes the place that serves to keep others out. You've seen the sign on the walls, "No girls allowed," right? There was an episode of Saturday Night Live last week. You watch it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live last week, Joe Biden was in his bedroom in the White House, and it said, "No presidents allowed." He was pouting in there. It wasn't really Joe Biden. It wasn't really the White House. It was Saturday Night. But you know, when clubhouses serve to keep others out, they're not good. And the clubhouse too often is less a safe and comfortable place and more an exclusive place where the unwanted are never permitted. Tree houses, forts, sanctuaries, youth rooms, all can become something like that. Clubhouses should not be the places where all one wants to do is keep others out or keep the unwanted out. In this morning's Bible reading, Jesus prayed. Did you get that from the Bible reading? He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all disciples, really, but there were some specific ones at that time. And his prayer was not that they would all have their separate places and reasons to make others unwanted. Not at all. Jesus didn't pray for that. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for their protection. He prayed for their unity, that they all may be one. He said it twice in the reading. It happened rather quickly, and it still exists today. And the question before us always is, what has become of that unity that Jesus was praying for? It is no secret that in the pews here, we have people that disagree about political candidates, about social issues, about worship settings, about where things should go, about how loud things should be. We disagree. We disagree. We disagree. We disagree. We're good at that. Not just here. We're good at that everywhere, in every church, in every state, in every town. And Jesus says that they all may be one. Listen to this. These are some things that the United Church of Christ hold dear. We believe the UCC is called to be a united and uniting church, that they may all be one, from John 17:21. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. In all things, charity. These UCC mottos survive because they touch core values deep within us. The UCC has no rigid formulation of doctrine or attachment to creeds and structures. Its overarching creed is love. UCC pastors and teachers are known for their commitment to excellence in theological preparation, interpretation of the scripture, and justice advocacy. Even so, love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. Listen to that last line. Love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. That's one of the core beliefs of the United Church of Christ. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. In all things, charity. It's been credited to Augustine. It's also been credited to John Wesley. No one is positive exactly who said it, but it's something that a lot of churches like to say. It's so hard to do. See, Jesus really gave us two essentials. We've talked about them before. I've said them. We've known them. Love God and love everyone. He pointed out that these are essential. And I think there's one that flows right from those two, which is all people should be treated with decency and respect. It's that golden rule thing. So this morning we sang this new song, Tambo, They All May Be One, from Christopher Grundy. You remember the song, right? Because we sang it for a long time. Listen, remember this line, still where two or three can meet, respecting their differences, there's no defeat, for the realm of God has come near. Guess what? We have wedge issues here at St. Paul's. We have wedge issues outside. We have wedge issues in politics. We've got wedge issues are those things that people like to argue about, and it's always what politicians bring up in order to energize their side. Wedge issues can make us so angry that we really want to fight. You know, we can be unified even when we have disagreements, because love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. And we will disagree about many, many things. We'll disagree about what is essential and what is non-essential. But love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. What a testimony we can offer all of the world. We can start right here and then extend to our association, to the conference, to the entire United Church of Christ and beyond. We can love beyond internal grievances and genuinely extend love to all. Because love and unity in the midst of our diversity are our greatest assets. So I've got a challenge for this week. It doesn't have to be just for this week, but it's a good thing to start it this week. Spend time listening to someone you disagree with about something significant, really big. Don't try to convince them of their wrongness on the issue. Just listen and be genuinely interested. That's it. And then after they've talked with you about the significant thing, without telling them that you have to be right, or but I disagree, all you really have to say is you love them no matter what, regardless of whether you disagree about the significant thing. And you don't even have to add that part there. You can just say, you know, I love you no matter what. Then invite them to church if they don't already come here already. After you've done that with one person, do it with another. And another, and another. Your week's going to get really filled up. Same process, same genuine love, same invitation. See, we are and can continue to be a loving congregation that shows Christian unity. We don't have to agree on everything. We just have to be willing to love God and to love each other, that we may all be one. Amen.